I do want to encourage you to pick up a card. If you're not familiar with the card, this is what they look like. They're in an envelope out in the foyer. We have about 35 that are left. We all know there are people in our lives who don't know Christ. And I really want to urge you to take the time to take one of those cards and give them to somebody that you know, that maybe the deacons and I don't know, that you might encourage them to come to know Christ. It will be the greatest thing you could ever do for them. We're almost at the end of our series. We've only got 40 more one another passages. No, that isn't true. There are a bunch. We're going to speak on encouragement today and next week about loving one another, and then we'll have Easter, and then a new series. And it's a secret. I'm not going to tell you what it is. But if you have identity crisis, you'll know what it is. I just gave away the title. It's going to be about identity. So today's sermon is very simple. And you have an outline in your bulletin if you want to follow in the outline. This is a ministry that I believe everybody in the church can do and ought to be doing. It's called encouragement. Some of you are sitting here today and are thinking to yourself, I don't know what gifts God has given me, so there must not be any ministry for me. I want to tell you how wrong you are. What I'm going to talk about today is something all of us can do, and that is to encourage one another. Encourage one another. I'm confident in saying someone in our presence today needs encouragement. Not because I'm a psychic, but because we're all very human. And I have a little note in here that says, you know, there used to be a thing called the psychic hotline on TV. Do you remember that? Advertisements for the psychic hotline. And don't you think if they were truly psychics, they would have known they were going bankrupt in the first place? Just think about it for a minute. But people need to be encouraged, not put down or bullied, not criticized or judged, but encouraged. Paul writes these powerful words to the church in Thessalonica, and we believe that either Galatians or 1 Thessalonians are the first two books that Paul ever wrote. That's what history tells us. So these are some of the first things that Paul is trying to communicate. And look with me in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. And he uses this wonderful Greek word. It's called parakletos. It means to come alongside. We all need a paraclete. Someone to come alongside of us and be there for us. Notice that the paraclete is not behind us, pushing us, or in front of us, pulling us, but walking beside us. Walking beside us. We are to be encouragers to each other. I guarantee you, Brenda and I were personally encouraged last week by your cards, your presence, and enthusiasm for the ministry here. Every week, your kind words build us up. But I need to remind you that all of us in this room need kind words. My friend Doug Harder has a wonderful business. His computer business is called Paraclete, from the Greek word. Parakaleos. It means to come alongside. And so Doug comes alongside. He's not paying for this advertisement, by the way. Just go in and drink his coffee. Anyway. But he views, he and Pat view their business as coming alongside you to help you with your computer needs. That's a godly man using a godly name for his business. But Jesus wanted to make sure he didn't leave his followers alone. You know, Jesus was getting ready to leave, and we find these things in John 13, 14, 15, and on. He's trying to prepare them for his leaving, and he told them that God would be sending a counselor, a comforter, an advocate, you choose the word, a paraclete. It all depends on which version of the Bible you read. King James says one thing, New American Standard says another thing, the NIV says advocate. So look with me to John 14. His disciples are fearful. They had been threatened and their hearts are troubled. The one that they love the most is getting ready to leave them, and they are lost. And Jesus says to them, and I'm going to quote these three verses, but let me give you point number one. God gave us another paraclete, and that is the Holy Spirit. God gave us another paraclete, the Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to mention these verses, say a little bit about each one. John 14, 16, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. That's what the NIV uses, to help you and be with you forever. This Holy Spirit was not a temporary fix. The Holy Spirit was going to be with us and with the church as long as the church existed. He was going to be that advocate, that counselor, that comforter, that one that comes alongside of us and helps us. And then in verse 26 of John 14, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, he identifies him, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. This is what the paraclete's going to do. He's the Spirit of truth, not ambiguity. He's the Spirit of truth. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, Jesus refers to him as the Spirit of truth. He makes things very clear. We're going to talk a little more about that when we get into his word. And he will testify about me. Then in John 15, 26, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you, Jesus is going to send from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. First of all, the Holy Spirit is our advocate, comforter, counselor, you put the word in whatever you want. The Holy Spirit is a he. It's not a neutral gender. The Holy Spirit is a he. He was their comforter, and he's our comforter today. He comes alongside us at various times in our life, especially in times of sorrow. He allows us to have peace when peace is sometimes hard to come by. First of all, letter B, Holy Spirit was sent by Jesus Christ. John 16, 7 says, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. If I don't go away, he's not going to come. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to those 12 apostles and to you and me today, to all who take the name of Jesus. Acts 2 makes it very clear. Acts 2:38, after Peter had preached the sermon on the day of Pentecost, they asked, what do we need to do to be saved? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you shall receive the free gift of the Holy Spirit. And we receive it at baptism. This free gift is a great gift. Point C. greatest gift the Holy Spirit gave us is His inspired scriptures. His word inspires us and calms us when we are worried and fearful. His word is there when others have left our side. I remember last spring a person in our church telling me when they were with their parent who was dying in a nursing home, they found so much comfort in reading the Psalms, in one particular psalm. We preached on it last summer. They would sit in the room with a loved one who was dying, and they would read scripture after scripture after scripture. Here's what Paul says about scripture when he was writing to a young preacher, Timothy. These are the words, great words. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed. That means it's got the Spirit in it. And is useful for, this is what this is useful for. Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. This word is instrumental to the building up of the body of Christ. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, wonderful words in Ephesians 4. We have so many things that we touch on, but we often forget verse 15, where he says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. We are to speak the truth in love. We're to speak the truth. We're to speak God's word, and we're to do it in a loving way for one purpose, to build up the body of Christ, to build us to maturity. This whole series, this whole 12-week series is about becoming more mature in Jesus Christ as we've gone through all the one another passages. We need to be speaking the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes we have to correct a brother or a sister. And when we do it in love. Not in a I told you so, or do it because I told you. Not because I'm the minister. But we are to speak the truth in love. But we have an ultimate verse about encouragement. It's Hebrews 10:25. I'll bet there are many people in the room who could quote Hebrews 10:25. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. It's the reason that we meet. It's one of the reasons we meet. A, we meet for this reason, to encourage one another. Your words are powerful. Your actions are powerful. Your body language speaks volumes. Your words matter. We need to speak words of encouragement to everyone in this room. You look around the room today. Have you found someone that you maybe need to speak a word of encouragement? Maybe they've had a tough week. You don't even know it. But we need to do that. We need to build each other up. There's this great churchy word. It's called edification. I just put the word edify. Everything we do needs to edify the body of Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, it may be nothing wrong in eating meat offered to idols, but if it causes your brother to stumble, have you really edified the church? No, you haven't. We need to build up the church. We need to not worry about what's in our best interest. We need to not worry about what's in our agenda. We need to not worry about what our plan was. We need to build up, not tear down. We need to strengthen each other daily with a word, with a card, with a note. And let me just say something about cards. You guys are a card-writing church, so I need to prepare you. There's a mistake in the plowshare. It's all my fault because I'm the proofreader, and if I don't catch it, then it is my fault. So on Saturday, it's going to tell you that it's my and Brenda's anniversary. Don't send us a card. It's not our anniversary. Now, if you're putting money in a card, send a card. No. Last year, I put on Facebook, happy anniversary to my wife. It was on April 13th. It was actually on Friday, April 13th. And I went on to explain that on Friday, April 13th, 1973, I asked Brenda to marry me. So it is an anniversary for Brenda and me of our getting engaged. Yes, I did it on Friday the 13th. Not superstitious. I'm a very romantic person. I did it at halftime of a basketball game. Still to this day, I cannot believe that I actually did that then, but I did. Just being honest. So don't send us a card for our anniversary. Our anniversary is in June, the last day of June. But send a card. Do you know how encouraged people get? Do you know how those shut-ins feel when I go visit them and they're telling me, every one of them telling me how neat it is to know that their church has not forgotten them, that they get a card, they get a phone call. But there are people in this room who need a card or a phone call or just a hand on their shoulder that says, I'm with you. I want to walk beside you through whatever you're going through. Number three, the focus of Paul's words, encourage one another. So I ask you, are you an encourager or a discourager? Are you a grumbler or an edifier? Your words and your actions matter. A kind word, a card, just being there when someone faces a traumatic event. My commitment, and I know that Vaughn shares this commitment, and our leadership shares this commitment, our commitment to you is that when you are facing a surgery, we will be there for you. We will be there from the beginning to the end. Now, if you leave and go to lunch, I'll probably leave. But normally I'm there as long as that surgery goes. I'm serious about that. If you're bearing a loved one, we will do everything we can within our power to be there with you. Or if you have an appointment across the street in that stately building, we will do everything we can, if we know, to be there with you. When I did the jail ministry, I would do everything I could to be with the men and the women when they went to court. And I know for many of them, probably for all of them, it was a great encouragement to know that as they walked to their seat at the table, that they could look in the audience and there was one face that they recognized who wasn't judging. I wasn't the judge. I've even testified on many of their behalfs. We will be there, whether it's the courtroom, the school conference, medical consultation. I believe with everything in my body that God's people should never feel that they're alone in whatever they are facing, ever. I've gone to funerals that were hundreds of miles away. I've been with people in the, this is not about me, by the way, it's just, you need to know the commitment of our church to being where you are. We will be there if it's at all possible. But when we are not there, know that the Holy Spirit is there with you. But we need to be there for each other. Sometimes we don't even know that we need you, but there are times that all of a sudden we need that arm around us to hold us up. I have permission to share the story, so I'm going to share the story, and I'm even going to tell the person's name. Arlie DeFreeze was telling me this week about the day that his mother passed away, and she was living in California, and he and was living with his father and his stepmother in Iowa. And they brought the body from California on the train, and they were at the train station. And all of a sudden, for reasons Arlie cannot explain, he just started shaking uncontrollably and just could not stop shaking. And a family member came over and they put their arms and they just held him to him, and his shaking calmed. We all need someone to come alongside us and calm us when we're shaking, even when the shaking is inside. Can't see it. I want to conclude by telling you a little bit about my favorite biblical hero. We all have Bible heroes. This is the one probably identify the most with. His name was originally called Joseph. But the scripture says the apostles changed his name to Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. So if you're writing in your conclusion, the word is Barnabas, the son of encouragement. When we first meet Barnabas in Acts, there's a crisis, and there are many, many people in need. The church had always been trying to help make sure everybody had everything that they needed, but a crisis had, financial crisis had come in. And in Acts 4, we find Barnabas selling a piece of property to be distributed. He gave it to the elders, to the apostles, to be distributed to those who had need. He was a people person. He was a strong, strong advocate. Boy, when you talk about the word advocate, that was Barnabas. The next time we come across Barnabas is in Acts 9. Saul has met God on the road to Damascus, and he's been baptized, and he's been at Ananias' house. We actually had that in our Sunday school lesson this morning. And then in verse 27, it says that many people, many, even the apostles, were skeptical about this Saul of Tarsus. But it was Barnabas who brought Saul to them and convinced them to trust him. He was a friend who advocated on Paul's behalf. That's a true friend. Everywhere he went, he was an encouragement to people. So I ask you, how are you doing? Are you an encourager? Or are most of the words that come out of your mouth critical and judgmental? Parents, are you an encourager to your children? Or if we asked your kids what they hear from you, all they would be told is how many times they did this wrong or that wrong. We need to be encouragers. We have an advocate. We have an advocate, and that advocate is the Holy Spirit. We're going to close with an absolutely powerful, powerful, transforming song. Francesca Battistelli sang a song probably 4 or 5 years ago. She was already a rising star in contemporary music, but this is a song every church in America sang. This is a church that every Christian in America could resonate to. The song is called Holy Spirit. We're going to sing it today, and I want to invite you, and I'm dead serious, if you are not a believer in Christ, and you want to begin that process of that journey, I want to invite you to come to the front and join with me and give your confession of faith to this body of believers. And then we can begin that process of talking about baptism, what all that means. But maybe you're already a believer in Christ, and you need a place to serve, a place to take your ministry.